Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Gospel of John, chapter 3. I want to tell you that this morning is, this message, it's really simple. It is not complex. It is not, I'm not going to attempt to reveal some thing that we read over in Scripture and we missed it, and so we want to bring, what they call them, nuggets or whatever, these things that we don't understand and pull it out of a verse and unfold it before you. This morning is not going to be that kind of message. It's going to be something very simple, and I'm glad that this is simple. And I'll tell you why I'm glad. Because when we talk about realizing who Jesus is and that he's the light and that we were born into sin or that which we consider spiritual darkness, to make that transition, to understand it, I need it to be simple. When we discover that how God loves us and how he came to rescue us and redeem us and repair the relationship that was broken between God and humanity, it's wonderful that you don't have to jump through all kinds of hoops and you don't have to struggle with some deep philosophical ideas. It's simple in the sense that God loves people. Regardless of what you've heard before or where you've heard it, whether you've heard it in a church or you heard it somewhere else, I want you to know that it's simple. It's this. It's that God loves people. Yeah, even people who are mean. He loves people. He loves his creation. He loved what he spoke into existence. He loves that which he has made in his own image or likeness. And so when you don't know God, it's wonderful to hear that it's simple. It's simple. He loves us. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and just say, God just simply loves you. God just simply loves you. See, Kiana, you got the idea. Because you can't do it, say it, or hear it without smiling. And I like your smile. Your face lights up. And you got beautiful eyes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We like Kiana.
I don't care
if you call me. I know you don't mind, but, they don't need to know my little name for you.
Okay.
It's true. She's friends with our kids and part of this youth ministry, and I called her Key. I don't know, one of my kids noticed the last week and they said, oh, you called her Key. So it's Kiana. Pretty name. Yeah. We hear the saying of old and, smile, God loves you, that kind of thing. And sometimes we make it a little bit cheesy sounding, but the reality is it's simple and God simply loves you. Loves the person next to you. And it's not based upon whether you're a good person or you're a bad person or you're somewhere in between. God cares about you. And he's aware of what's going on in your life. And you might feel like he's not aware, but he's aware. God's big enough to know those things. And one of the reasons that he knows is the scripture says very plainly that he is light. The light exposes everything. The light exposes everything. And he is the light. In him there is no darkness at all. He is light. And I want us to look at that this morning. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, let's start, We better start reading with 16, even though you're familiar with it. I always feel bad if I'm preaching near verse 16 and we don't read verse 16. For God so loved you that he gave his one and only Son, that if you believe in him, you will never perish, but you will have eternal life. For God did not send his Son to you to condemn you. Turn to the person next to you and say, by the way, God didn't come to condemn you. You better tell each other, I'm watching you. Yeah, I'm watching you right there, making sure you tell somebody. I didn't catch everybody, so do it again. I don't want nobody missed. I want you to hear it this morning. God didn't come, he didn't send his son Jesus into the world to condemn us, to condemn you. It's not why he came. But rather, he came to save you through Jesus. God sent his son to save you through Jesus. Verse 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict, John writes. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of the light, because their deeds were evil. I want to pause here for a moment. Understand why the world, men, people without the knowledge of Jesus Christ or the faith in Christ, why they love darkness. They love darkness because it covers, provides a hiding place for evil, evil deeds. That's why they love the darkness. They love it because they're not exposed. I mean, how many of you like your dirty laundry to be spread out, you know, for all the world to see? You love that? I mean, do you love when you do something wrong at home and your kids go running around to the neighbors and all their friends and they tell their parents and so on about how you blew up at home? Isn't that a great time? No. You don't like that exposed. You want it to be hidden. You want it to be buried. That is why the scripture says they loved the darkness. It's not just that we were born into sin. We loved it because it didn't expose the things we've said wrong, the things we've done wrong, the evil that has come forth out of our hearts, that proceedeth out of our mouths. They love the darkness because much of their evil would be hidden. Now understand, though it's hidden, it's not solved. You know what that's like. You know that you keep doing something wrong and maybe no one knows about it. It's hidden, but it's not solved. And Jesus came to solve it. So let's keep reading. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. His name is? Jesus. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for the fear that his own deeds will be exposed. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 says, the light exposes or makes all things visible. Let's remember a couple of things. God did not come or send his son, Jesus, into this world to condemn us. He didn't come in to expel the sinner and throw him out and condemn him. Understand that if we don't have faith in Jesus Christ, We're already condemned. We're condemned because of sin, not because God is mad at us or because God hates us. It's that we are not in right relationship with Him. He has done His part in making the opportunity available for all people to know Him and be restored to Him by the giving of His Son, Jesus. Jesus did not come to condemn us. He came to save us and give us life. Light makes all things visible. The things that your parents don't know. And there are some things, aren't there, Mark? No, I'm kidding. His parents are sitting here. He's such a good guy. I like Mark. He is. He's such a good guy. Sorry, I pushed on your head there a little bit. Or the things that your wife don't know. And there are a couple things, Marlene.
Yeah.
Two. Yeah, two. I'm kidding you. Or the thing your husband doesn't know.
A whole lot.
Janelle, a whole lot. She's confessing already. Oh, my. God is light. Jesus is light. He is the light of men, the scripture says. He's the light. And we run from the light when we want something hidden. I mean, in a small way, it's kind of like, for some, I don't want to go to church. And we sometimes come up with reasons that sound good to us. But below the reasons, sometimes there's some real heart issues of why we don't want to go to church, because we know that church somehow represents God or God's presence or things that are morally right. And we, you know, yeah. Hey, I remember having the knowledge of the gospel and knowing that things weren't right between me and God, and not wanting to go in church. Or the, all of a sudden, hey, now's a good time for me to step out because the pastor's going to preach. And I could kind of wrestle off conviction during worship. But now he's going to preach, and he's going to go to God's Word, and I'm going to have to sit there, and I'm like, oh, I know. And it wasn't the preacher. It was God. Because he's, the Word is light, and it's, and it comes to me. Though no one else may see it, it's like light to me, and it shows me, me. Doesn't just show me God only, it shows me me. I feel, I don't know, we use the word conviction. I feel exposed. He didn't come to expel us and condemn us. In this gospel that we call the gospel of love, because John was the beloved and it's a loving gospel, understand that the loving gospel is a confrontational gospel. Not confrontational in the sense it's coming hard and it's going to cause you argument and you want it. Not that kind of confrontation. It's that we are actually confronted with. In other words, we're walking down the path of life and we walk into this confrontation or this wall or this understanding of, whoa, who God is, what He's like, and that He is light. And it shines in me, and I discover my evil. Where if I'm in darkness, I don't have to look at it all the time. I can't see it. I know it's there, but you know, it's like the tear in the couch. You walk by it so many times, you don't notice it much anymore. Until you have somebody come over. and say, "Whoa, I don't know if you noticed, but you got a tear in the couch." And you go, "Oh, yeah, that's right. Got a tear in the couch." It's that kind of confrontation. It's that we are confronted with the truth. Exposed. Jesus, he came to save us, to expose us. Not necessarily to everybody, but he wants me to know that he knows me. His light is not to just expose you to everybody around you, it's to expose you to the fact that he knows you. And to get your attention by the things in our life. You know what else his light does? Because this is, you know, if we take it in the context of, yeah, that's right. I wish the whole community was in here who don't know Jesus could come in here and listen to this, because this is for them. One of the things that his light exposes is the hypocrisy of religion. So though you have faith in Jesus Christ, and you're in this room and you know him as your personal Savior, understand that the light is still shining. And it can expose us in this room who know him. It can expose the hypocrisy of my attitude or our attitudes or religion or the things that we add to the gospel that don't belong. There's this call, we use the word repentance. Though the Gospel of John doesn't really use the word, all the ingredients are there. We know that the Scripture, the word repent is used in other places throughout the Scripture. There's two real ingredients to repentance, and it's one is confession, and the other is change. Repentance is not just asking forgiveness. It's not just asking forgiveness. It's not like the light shines. I know there's stuff wrong in me, so I need to say, I admit it. It's wrong. It's sin. I'm sorry. That's good. It's a start. It's one of the ingredients. But it is not the fullness of repentance. And it's not just for those who are coming into Christ brand new for the first time. It is for those of us who still are believers in Christ but still struggle and battle with sin. It's not just about, I'm sorry. That is expressing a sincere remorse. But it's not just about, I'm sorry. It's about the other ingredient of repentance, and it's called change. You look at the woman at the well in John chapter 4. And he goes and gets the drink of water. And if you have not read it, I encourage you to read it. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. But there's the woman who's there. And Jesus asks for a drink of water. And she begins, they go through this conversation. And what happens is Jesus lets her know, as the light of the world, that he knows about her. And exposes her to herself and exposes her to the understanding that he knows her. Now, the two of them are alone. He didn't do this in front of everybody and embarrass her. He just says, go get your husband. She says, I have no husband. It's just regular dialogue. And then he says to her, it's true. You don't have a husband. You've had five. And the man you're now with is not your husband. And she goes, oh. You see, the light started to shine down into her like it shines down into you and I. You go on a little later, I think it's around about John chapter 8, and they bring a woman before him caught in the act of adultery. And the crowd shows up with the stones to condemn her. Stone her to death by legal rights of the law. And Jesus, he is the fulfillment of the law and the fulfillment and mercy of mercy. And he says, those of you who've never sinned, throw the first stone. Oh! And the religious people religious leaders, they had a fit. They just, oh, again! He got out of it. We wanted to trap him. We wanted to trick him. We wanted to see if he's going to fulfill the law or not fulfill the law. And oh, he fulfills the law of mercy, triumphs over judgment. So he says to this woman, where are your accusers? Who's the one accused you of all this wrong? Because they all left. They all walked away. Save their rocks, their stones for another day. And he says this, your accusers are gone, and neither do I condemn you. And here's the other part of what we call repentance. It's admitting, knowing that God sees us, exposes us, but it's not just saying I'm sorry for the sin. He says to her, now, don't continue to go and live like you have. Go now and live a different life. Don't live in the same sin, but rather be changed. And that's the thing with repentance. It's not just saying, I know, I read God's word, it shines like a light into my soul, I know I'm wrong, and I'm sorry. And we feel remorse, and we feel that conviction, or, I know it, I'm guilty! And God shows his grace and mercy towards these people, towards you and I in this room. But it's not just I'm sorry. It's only one ingredient. The second ingredient that brings the fullness of repentance is change. I'm sorry, and I need to go and not do that anymore. And we need God's help. I mean, I understand this, that this room and this platform have people on it, in the pew, on the platform, that have told God, I'm sorry, and I won't do it anymore, and we did it again. I understand that. God understands it. It doesn't mean that it's sloppy and acceptable. It just means we've got to go back again and say, you know what? I know that you are light and you expose darkness. And I get to see it. It can't hide in your presence, for you are light. And when he shines the light, there are no shadows. It's just light all around. As we look at these scriptures and talk about God being the light and he exposes those things that are in darkness, there's a mercy that comes with it. He didn't come to shine the light to expose you and expose me so that we would be embarrassed in front of a bunch of people. That was not his motivation. He didn't come to condemn us and embarrass us. He came to shine the light so that we would know that he knows about me personally. And that we could see what it is and what our life is like and our heart is like so that we could see in the light, not wander around in spiritual darkness or confusion or coming up with our own philosophies, our own religions, or all this other stuff we do to try to escape our guilt and try to become more moral. It was exposing God's holiness, exposing that which is not right in me so that I would not be condemned, but rather I would be saved by believing in him that he came as light so that I could see and see the truth about me without excuse, without defense, without, well, I did that because this was done to me, or I did it. No argument, no nothing. He just shone his light into my soul that I could see me. Not to embarrass me, not to make me feel guilty, but to remove the guilt so that I could turn to him and say, I'm sorry, and I don't want to continue to live like this. So come into my life, and I need you at work in me so that I live different. Just like the woman who was caught in adultery, and he said, I don't condemn you. Just don't go and keep doing this. Man, that is great news. Because you know what? When I'm exposed, or the principal caught me, or my parents caught me, I feel exposed. They know this thing, and you know what I'm ready for? I'm ready for judgment. I'm ready for punishment. I'm ready for the privileges to be gone. I'm ready to be, you know, held under, you know, their scrutiny and their, and I become a slave to them. And God comes and says, here's the light. I see it. You see it. And if we respond with, I believe in you and I'm sorry, help me change, the eternal judgment is removed. That's the good news of God. The good news of the gospel. But those who are in darkness, they don't like the light because it exposes us. And exposure is a very, you know, let's face it, it's an unnerving thing to be exposed. I remember doing one or two things wrong. Those are just the ones I remember at home. I remember doing something wrong that probably wasn't best. And I remember the next day, my mom or dad saying, hey, Randy, I need to see you. Yeah, I'll be right there. Oh, no. They know. And you know the uneasy feeling inside? Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay, three of you do. The rest of you have been holy all your life. It's that, oh, no. And you go up kind of looking innocent and trying to act normal. In fact, you overdo it a little bit. You go up and say, yes, mother dear. You know, and you don't normally say that. It's usually, yeah, mom, what do you want? But yes, kind of like, well, maybe there's this little bit of hope that they don't know. But you are so worked up, so nervous. You come up, you're already red. You're already, you know, you look a little like Pat, kind of guilty. And I'm kidding you. And you come up and they say, and they bring up something and it was totally unrelated to what you did wrong. And you go, they didn't know. It's that feeling. The thing is, with God, He knows. And He knows not with the motive to condemn us. He knows with the motive so that that doesn't ruin us. And He wants to save us. But men don't like the light. In fact, Jeremiah Burroughs wrote this. He said, I have read in history about barbaric nations that when the sun shined so bright and the heat was unbearable, that they used to take their bows and launch their arrows into the sun. Kind of attack it. Try to extinguish it as an expression of, it's too hot, it's too bright, I can't take it. Much like men who like to live in darkness attack the light of the gospel. What we do, if we know things are not right and there's the light of God's grace shining in us, because we know things aren't right, what we do to attack the gospel, we don't always just come out and say, I hate the gospel! Because, you know, We live in America, and it's still a place a little bit where you probably don't come out and say it. Some do, but, you know, you don't just come out and hate. What you do is you begin to explain how the gospel is false. You try to attack the gospel, and the best way we sometimes do it is say, oh, I know those people in church, they're hypocrites. And therefore, we use that reason to try not to be exposed about our own darkness. And we blame others so that we don't have to face the light of God's gospel. It's because we misunderstand the light of God's gospel. The light of God's gospel is not to condemn us. It's to shine brightly His redemption, His saving power, and His love for us, that we're not left to ourselves, that we will destroy ourselves. But we attack, we fire our arrows into the light of the gospel by, coming up with other reasons. Or we use some famous preacher on TV from over the years that had some failure or fall, and so we use it as a reason to attack the gospel as if it's not true. That will not extinguish the light of the gospel. Romans chapter 13, verse 12 says, put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. In other words, don't continue in those deeds. As the light shines, let God rescue you. And don't continue to do those things, but rather put on the armor of light. Come into the kingdom of light. Come into God's kingdom. Come into faith in Christ. And He will place this armor upon you. This armor of light. This representation that you belong to Him and you honor the King of the kingdom of light and no longer live as one who is in darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5 says, you are sons of light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night. We do not belong to the darkness. I know that that sounds like lines from a movie, but understand where they got it from. They got it from the apostles. Those who knew about the true light. It's a wonderful thing to shout this. I do not belong to darkness. I'm going to tell you something. Other than just a declaration of truth, it feels really good. It's wonderful to look at somebody and say, you do not belong to the darkness. It's wonderful. It's really invigorating. Look in the mirror. You might want to be home alone. Because the first time you might be a little embarrassed. But to stare into the mirror and lean upon the sink and the vanity as if it's your pulpit. And you look into that mirror and you see yourself. And you shout to yourself that which is true in the scripture. And you stare at yourself in the eye and you tell yourself, you do not belong to the darkness. The light has come, the light of men, Jesus Christ, to save us from that which will eternally destroy us. Not just destroy us in this life, but for eternity. And He came as a light to say, look, see my grace, see my mercy, see my love. See it. See me for who I am. That I could stand, though I know my deeds of darkness, and stand and look in a mirror and say, you don't belong to darkness? When I have known the dark things in my life, and to stand there and say, now, you don't belong to the darkness? I want to read to you Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 8, starting there, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Listen, if you were once in darkness but believe in Jesus Christ and you have repented, you have confessed sin and you are all about the change that He helps us with, that we live differently, then you and I are supposed to live as children of light. Not feel remorse, ask forgiveness, and then go back to what we were doing. We're supposed to live as children of light. How the children of light live. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Find out. You and I are supposed to find out what pleases Him. What makes Him happy? What gives Him pleasure? Those of you who are parents, you can get a grip on this. You know what your children do that make you happy. Whether it's the sounds of your children. I told Sue just the other week, I could hear Sydney in another part of the house just laughing. Now, Sydney, she's not here this morning. She's at some regional choir thing with the school. And so I'm going to talk about this a little bit. But Sydney, she has a little bit different sense of humor. The most peculiar thing that maybe is supposed to be funny, but you and I maybe don't find funny, it's just kind of an awkward funny, she finds with great hilarity. And once Sydney gets going, she's gone with laughter. And I heard her the other day, she was in another part of the house, and I said to Sue, I said, I love that sound. It pleases me that there is laughter in my child. And there's laughter in this house. Because there will be a day where she no longer lives with us. There will be a day. But in that day, the sound of that laughter will be this daddy's longing. I'll miss it. Just like I told my oldest daughter the other day. She's married and I'm glad. And they're doing great. But I said, there's moments I miss you not being in our home. Because it's true. Find out what pleases Him. The righteousness, the goodness, the truth. It has a fragrance. It has something you can see. And it's something that's audible. It's all those things. Righteousness has a fragrance. It has a sound. It's something you can see. It's visual. It's all those things. Just like with our children at home. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It doesn't mean that you and I have to run around correcting everyone. Oh, deed of darkness, let me expose it. Gotta tell everybody, gotta tell you about it. No. You recognize it and expose it in you. I got to recognize it and let God's light expose it in me. I am a child of light, so I have to expose it in me. I got to look at it. I got to recognize it. And I got to get it solved. And it's through confession and through change and the commitment of that kind of faith. Expose it here. You know how else you expose it in others? You expose it in others like Jesus did. He showed up, and because He's light, people felt compelled. Because He was in the place, in the house, in the room, on the hillside, in the village, in the city, somewhere with people. And you know what? Because He is light and He was there, they felt exposed inside. They feel a conviction. It's like when you're in the marketplace and you're talking with somebody over the counter, a clerk or a manager or somebody, and you're being kind And there's something on you because you've been with God and you're walking with the children of light, and they just kind of look at you and say, "You're something different about you." And they don't mean it like, "Ooh, man, there's something different about you." You're woohoo. No, there's something different about you. I love not standing in line, but when I'm in line and the person behind the counter is getting aggravated with everybody and mistreating everybody, and then it's my turn to get to the counter. You're going to be nice to me. Not because I demand it, but because I'm going to be really sweet to you. I'm going to be nice to you. I'm going to be polite to you. And you can call it sweet talking and manipulation all you want. I'm not lying or being false with him or her. I'm just, you know what? I want this to be solved, and you're going to give me favor because I'm a child of the light, and you can hate darkness, but you know what? There's something that when I get to that counter, that God's going to make sweet. And they may not be overly nice, but they were nicer than the first five parties that were in front of me. And when they're done giving me or doing for me what I need, the sweetness isn't going to leave. Because it's going to be thank you. And you being nice to me made a difference today. I'm going to tell them that. You being nice to me makes a difference. That's a new realization for them. And when I walk away, the next person in line, they're going to reap the benefit of what God did at that counter because of his light in our life. That exposes darkness. When you say something like, "Thanks for being nice to me. You know what makes a difference?" And you walk away, they were just exposed to the light of saying, "You know what? Being nice makes a difference." Because when you're behind the counter and you're dealing with people all day long, it's hard to remember that they're people. If you're the one behind the counter, it's hard to remember that they're real people living real life, having real problems. You just want the line to go away. But with God, we're real people. And he wants to expose. I'm going to read you one last scripture in 1 John. A couple of verses there. 1 John. Actually, I'm going to read a couple of verses, one from chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, and so I don't expect you to follow along, but it'll be 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, chapter 2, verse 6, and probably 6 through, or starting with verse 9, and then chapter 3, I'll read verse 5. If we claim to have fellowship with him, Jesus, yet walk in the darkness, we lie. This is not a message or letter to the unsaved person. This is a letter to the saved, to the church, to the family of God. If we confess, we claim to have fellowship with Jesus, and we talk a good game, and we can quote scripture, and we can, you know, pray, and we can pray with emotion, and we can, you know, put on the outward stuff, and we can look like it's light. But God's light, it exposes what's in here. And if we claim and we do all these things, yet we walk in darkness, we're liars. The truth be known today. If we do that, we're lying. And not only lying to other people, God sees the truth, but we're deceiving ourselves. We begin to form a pattern. Get this. You and I can deceive ourselves. We are in Jesus Christ, but we can deceive ourselves in the sense that we can do all the outward stuff and yet let darkness reign inside us. And we still go about our Christian duties and Christian lifestyle, but we deceive ourselves. We set up this pattern. We let this attitude of darkness exist in us. And we could say we have fellowship with Him, but we don't. We could come to church and say we have fellowship with Him. You don't have fellowship with Him. You were just here while others were having fellowship with Him. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. It's a letter to the church. You can go to church, you can sing the songs, you can tithe, you can pray, you can do all the stuff, you can teach a class, you can go to morning blend and have coffee and sit around a table. But if you hate somebody in this room, your brother or your sister, look at this. You claim to be in the light but hate your brother. You're still in the darkness. We don't want to hear that. But this is His light into my soul and yours. And it will expose you right here in its presence in this place this morning. Not to condemn you, but to solve that hate so that we can be in the light. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. Whoo! Here's the key. Your Christian life, you're stumbling, you're tripping, you're doing... Listen. If you get rid of the hatred stuff or the attitude stuff or anything that is of darkness within you that He keeps shining His light on, if we get rid of that and solve it, understand this. It will remove that which you stumble over. Because you're walking in the light, you see it. In the dark, you don't see it. Hey, we can use the proverbial stub your foot on the bedpost thing. Well, after you walk through the room enough in darkness, you know where it's at, right? Yeah, I thought I was pretty good at that. Until the stool in front of the chair at the end of our bed vacuumed and it didn't go back in the exact imprints in the carpet where the feet were before. You know what I'm talking about? When you move furniture, there's that little imprint in the car. And it didn't quite go back into there. It was over a couple inches. And I've been meaning to talk to you about it. Dear. I caught my... I'm a grown man, but I still have baby toes. I caught my baby toe. It hurt. Because I know where that's at in the dark. But it got moved a little. The light would have helped me see. But if I would have flipped the light on, that would have not been a good situation when your spouse is still in bed. We remove that stuff. It keeps us from stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has him blinded. It's an interesting thing being blind and not knowing it. Last verse. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins. And in Him is no sin. That's why He came. He came to take away our sin. And for Him to identify it as sin,
He comes. He is light. It is exposed. He sees it. He can remove it. In the light, we can see it and we can have it removed. The light of Jesus Christ is so important to us personally and so important for it to shine in our life that others can have a taste, an experience with the light of Jesus that they too could see. Not that we walk away condemned, but that we walk away with the understanding, I have the opportunity for forgiveness and to be saved from the wages and consequences of sin. I don't know maybe where you're at today. And maybe you are here and you're a Christian. But as the light of these scriptures shines in your heart, maybe it wasn't hatred, but it's something else. He shines the light and says, you know, this is not right. I've got some resentment. I'm polite about it. Maybe it's someone close to you. Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's a friend. You still hang out together. You're still okay together. But you know what? You have a little something in here. Or maybe it's something more blatant than that. I don't know. Maybe it's a habitual thing, a private thing, a cyclical thing that you deal with that nobody knows about. But he shines his light today in us. Not to condemn you, not to make you feel guilty. You already have that. He came to shine it so that it could be solved. That's the loving, confrontational gospel of John. We are confronted with the truth, not to make an argument with us, but confronted with, hey, Jesus just showed up at my counter, and I'm confronted with the light of his goodness and his grace.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.